You are listening to the most comprehensive source for news and views about today's unions. This is LaborUnionNews.com's Labor Relations Radio and your host, Peter List.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Hey, thanks for turning on or tuning in to Labor Relations Radio. Well, hopefully this is going to be a short episode. However, something's come up that I feel needs addressing, and frankly, it gives me the chance to clarify a few things moving forward. Before I begin, though, I wanted to mention that if you hear a few pauses during this episode, I have had a lingering cough now for the last week or so and may need to pause so I don't cough or clear my throat in your ear. So last week, a pro-union writer, or shall we say, labor journalist, by the name of Mike Elk, whom, by the way, I actually like and enjoy his writings, despite our differing viewpoints, and despite the fact that he blocked me on Twitter, and or X, whatever it is these days, and I'm pretty sure he hates me. Anyway, Mike Elk runs a website called Payday Report, and he did a hit piece on me entitled Anti-UAW Union Buster Secretly Behind Hit Labor News Site that, when I read it at first, it kind of made me laugh because apparently, and despite the fact that we've linked to his stories numerous times, and I'm pretty sure, about 95-99% sure, that I invited him onto the podcast last year, only now discovered that I'm the editor of LaborUnionNews.com. And by the way, after a few decades in this labor relations arena, this is not the first hit piece on me, and I'm sure it won't be the last. However, I'm going to add a link to his article under the audio portion of this episode, but let me read a few paragraphs to you to kind of give you the flavor. Quote, LaborUnionNews.com has become the Drudge Report of labor news, the largest aggregator of news about unions on the web, boasting that it links to over 50 news articles a day and has posted links to more than 34,000 labor news articles since it started in 2023. So let me pause there for a second. I'm going to correct that a little bit. We actually post a lot more than 50 articles per day, and we started in 2022, not 2023. So back to his article. Quote, among labor movement activists, LaborUnionNews.com quickly amassed a large following mainly due to its daily posting of NLRB union election petitions and prolific aggregation of labor news. As a veteran labor reporter, I signed up for a subscription a few months ago to help prepare our labor newsletter. I thought it was a low-budget labor news aggregator. They even solicited crowdfunding from labor readers as a site like my own Payday Report does. Okay, so let me stop there again. For the record, our subscribers consist of primarily HR and labor relations practitioners, attorneys, and yes, we do have some union officials and or staffers that are subscribers. However, the site was developed to put news out, period. He goes on, quote, now I have discovered that LaborUnionNews.com is run by a notorious union buster named Peter List, who runs a multi-million dollar union busting empire. Now, for the record, I have always found union writers using, quote, notorious to describe me as amusing. But let me pause on Mike Elk's shock for a moment. If you listen to the intro to this podcast a few minutes ago, I don't think my identity has ever been a secret. As well as my name being at the beginning and end of every episode, we've put out press releases with my name in it. However, if you think it was a secret, let me replay the portion of the podcast intro just to make sure you know there's nothing secret about it.
You are listening to the most comprehensive source for news and views about today's unions. This is LaborUnionNews.com's Labor Relations Radio and your host, Peter List.
So, to backtrack a bit, back in February, I sent out an email to subscribers entitled, Perhaps We Owe You an Explanation. In that email, again, which I'll link to under the audio portion of this episode, I explained, and I'm going to quote, "When we launched LaborUnionNews.com as a news aggregator in January 2022, our primary purpose was to create the most comprehensive source for news and views about today's unions, regardless of a particular side, pro-union or anti-union. To that end," and again, this was in February, "having posted over 32,000 links to articles, as long as it ties either directly or indirectly to labor and employee relations issues, we publish links from all sides of the union management divide, from the socialist Jacobin to the Daily Caller and everything in between. This includes, by the way, links to union press releases. We are an anti-echo chamber. Much of the mainstream media today can be considered, to varying degrees on particular topics, a vast echo chamber. Many of today's, quote, journalists, depending on the outlet, merely echo specific points. Whether our readers agree or disagree with a writer's position, we believe our readers are sophisticated enough to know where the bias is, and regardless of bias, are deserving of the information provided. When it comes to our specific articles and op-eds, as well as labor relations radio podcast episodes, the purpose of those are to bring you content and insights that hopefully you will find interesting and informative. Often, our articles will come about in response to something in the news that needs further information or a perspective that mainstream journalists leave out of the story, either intentionally or just due to a lack of historical knowledge." So, let me simplify all that. LaborUnionNews.com and the articles we link to are from everywhere. We link to the articles from the left, the right, and everywhere in between. However, when it comes to specific articles or op-eds that I write or send out, or even the podcast episodes, I only write and take the time to write or record on issues that I think are interesting or that I think you may find interesting. Now, let me address a couple of other criticisms of Mr. Elks. Quote, "A decade ago," Elk writes, "I exposed List had previously worked with Senator Bob Corker to help anti-union forces narrowly defeat the UAW in 2014. He's talking about the 2014 election in Chattanooga, Tennessee at Volkswagen. Now, I'm going to come back to that in a moment, but first let me come to what apparently got Mr. Elk bothered enough to write a hit piece on me. Earlier this week, I posted a piece entitled "Union Watchdog, UAW Leaders Bask in Puerto Rico as Members Get Laid Off." The main topic of the article came from the Center for Union Facts, who had written a piece about the UAW's Stellantis National Council meeting being held in Puerto Rico. Despite the fact that Stellantis does not have a single manufacturing facility in Puerto Rico. Well, that meeting struck me as somewhat odd, given the fact that the UAW had just come out of a multi-year corruption scandal that saw two former UAW international presidents go to jail, as well as multiple other UAW leaders for, among other things, taking expensive trips to warm climates. So I wrote the post quoting heavily from the Center for Union Facts, and again, I'll put the link under the audio portion of this episode, but I concluded with this. At a time when FAIN and UAW members are hoping to unionize foreign automakers with travel to exotic places like Puerto Rico, the new union leadership may run the risk of being viewed by its current members, as well as potential new members, as being only a slight departure from the prior leaders who spent millions of dollars of members' dues on themselves, end quote. Well, it was either that paragraph which Mr. Elk quoted or something else. Mr. Elk decided to write his article as a, quote, scoop, anti-UAW union buster secretly behind Hit Labor News website. As I mentioned before, and with more than 5,000 people on LaborUnionNews.com's LinkedIn group, and my name beginning at the end of every podcast, I've never actually hidden my identity from readers or listeners. However, Mr. Elk also wrote about my involvement in the UAW's defeat at VW in 2014. So, let me give you a little backstory there. As some listeners may know, I have been blogging and writing about unions since the late 2000s. When unions, and I first started this, by the way, when unions were first trying to foist the hallucinogenically named Employee Free Choice Act across America. And by the way, they've since doubled down with the PRO Act, but that's a topic for another time. In any case, I have had several different websites, from Employer Report, which is what I first started with, to Workplace Report, to Labor Union Report. The latter one, Labor Union Report, lasted for about 10 years or so. However, along the way, for years, I have always wanted a news aggregator site, and it wasn't until 2021 that I actually found the template to do just purely news aggregation. That is the site known as laborunionnews.com. It is purely aggregation. However, our Substack, which is where we post the digest, as well as other articles in this podcast, that is where I can write articles alone, or independently, so to speak. In addition to this, in the early years, I was cross-posting my writing at a couple bigger websites that allowed contributors to post articles. One of them was a website called Big Government, which is no longer around. The other one, on which I became a front page contributor, was a website called redstate.com. That is still around. And I did my writings there under the handle Labor Union Report because it cross-posted back to the Labor Union Report website. Well, in about 2010, I started doing posts about the union efforts to infiltrate the South because that is where there's mostly non-union workers out there and unions have to organize the South. In 2013, when the UAW began to try to unionize VW's plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, under a legally dubious model, and I'm going to underscore legally dubious model, called a works council, I began writing about that as well. And by the way, I'm sharing as many links to the post with you under this episode so that you can get some backstory to this, and it is rather lengthy. So to make a long story short, having done articles about the UAW's, again, legally dubious tactics to infiltrate the VW plant, which included a sweetheart deal negotiated between the company and the union behind workers' backs and outside interference from the union that sits on VW's board in Germany in early 2014, about a month or so before the first election in Chattanooga, I was asked by a friend to help the workers who did not want a union at VW. Now, again, helping workers against both the company and the union. So that's sort of important for people to understand. Both the UAW and VW at the time were working together to foist the UAW on the workers. Now, Mr. Elk has in his article that I worked with then-Senator Bob Corker. I need to clarify that. I've never met the man. He was not the client. The workers were. And unfortunately, to this day, Mr. Elk and others believe that it was the outside interference of the politicians that convinced the workers to vote not to be a part of the UAW 10 years ago. Were people, including politicians and community leaders, interested in the outcome? Yes. Which is why I sent an email to a group of people on the workers' Facebook page analytics that wound up in the press. Did I assist the employees? Absolutely. However, I will say now, as I told Mr. Elk 10 years ago, the politicians, if anything, to me were a nuisance. The real story was the secret deal that was done behind workers' backs and making sure that the employees knew that what was being done to them and what they were being sold on, the Works Council, was a Trojan horse to unionize them. And that is what cost the UAW that election. Am I involved in any of the UAW campaigns in the South today? No. Frankly, though, were I to be asked to help the workers again, I would gladly do so. Not for the money, but it was fun. And being not restricted by the employer do's and don'ts, I was able to talk to employees frankly and educate them on the law and what was being done to them. You see, that's what Mr. Elk and other union acolytes don't understand. He alleges that I have a multi-million dollar empire, which I don't, by the way. Have I made a good living over the years? Yes. But being paid by employers to help employees understand the nuances of what it means to be in unions, the good, the bad, the ugly, what I have done is been able to educate a lot of people without being paid. I've been to strikes, which I haven't been involved with, and talked to people on picket lines, and I've written hundreds, if not thousands, of articles over the more than 15 years about labor issues that I think need pointing out. I was at the first day of Occupy Wall Street in Manhattan in 2011 to write about that. And Mike, if you're listening to this, until laborunionnews.com, which is subscriber funded, unlike you, I have never collected a dime for any of the articles I've written over the last decade and a half. Believe it or not, Mr. Elk, I have never done what I do for the money. I do what I do because I believe both sides of the story need to be told. Have I been paid over the years to do what I do? Yes, but not the writing part. And that enables me to fund projects like laborunionnews.com, helping workers for free, or writing the articles or doing the podcast. You see, if you ask around to ex-union people like myself, who, for whatever reason, stopped drinking the Kool-Aid, most of us don't do it for the money. We do it because we believed in a cause, the union caused, and realized, for varying reasons, that the Kool-Aid left a very bitter taste in our mouths, and try to warn others that while the high fructose corn syrup may seem enticing, it's not all that it's cracked up to be. But you've got to be the judge of that. You'll note that there's been no union side press coverage, for example, of how recently the organizers at the International Brotherhood of Teamsters voted against having a union for themselves. We covered that at laborunionnews.com. Why is it ironic that union organizers that go out to sell people on unions won't have a union for themselves? In any case, the one point that I'll come back to from Mr. Elk's hit piece is the lack of my name, Peter List, quote, the notorious union buster, being on top of each article. Frankly, it didn't really occur to me to add it because I figured you all knew who I was. So to rectify that, I went back to all the articles I wrote this past week and added my name, as well as a link to my LinkedIn profile, and will be doing so going forward. The reason for that is multitude. One, okay, I don't really care if you know who I am. I put it out there anyway. But in addition to that, it also helps with analytics, and I didn't realize that until Mr. L pointed it out. He didn't point that point out, but it kind of made me think about it. It's like, cool, I'll just add it. So before I close this out, as I said, I've included as many links as I could to the articles I wrote a decade or more ago. I know there's other articles out there, but there's the websites and there's some links in the articles I linked to that are dead links. In any case, I wrote these articles both prior to and after the UAW lost in 2014. It's important to understand that backstory. And you should kind of read them just to see how the UAW was trying to trick the employees into unionizing 10 years ago. Totally different campaign, I get that, but just, you know, it was amazing the depths to which they would stoop to. Anyway, again, Mr. Elk, to close this out, my invite to come on to the podcast is open anytime. As I mentioned on our email exchange, while I do have completely different views, I do admire your work. You do put some good stuff out there. And for the listeners, tune in next week as we do have another congressperson scheduled to come on to Labor Relations Radio to explain a bill called the SALT Act, which is designed to require unions to be transparent when they use the nefarious tactic of salting, which is the disingenuous practice of putting paid union organizers into workplaces and hiding it from the workers. In any case, that wraps up another episode of Labor Relations Radio. I'm your host, Peter List. Let me spell that out, P-E-T-E-R-L-I-S-T. If you want to reach out, you can do so at X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. Twitter at Workplace Report. That's at Workplace RPT. You can give us a call at 1-888-668-6466 or leave a comment under the audio portion of this episode. Thanks for listening and have a great week. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if it was Mr. Elk's article or something else, but whatever it was, we've gotten a ton of new subscribers this week. Anyway, see ya.
I'm just a man living a one-night stand. I'll tell you what I need. Oh, Black Creek, take me to that place.
You have been listening to Labor Relations Radio.
Hey, Labor Relations Radio listeners, this is just a quick reminder. If you enjoyed Labor Relations Radio, make sure you share these episodes with your colleagues and make sure you and your colleagues visit laborunionnews.com and subscribe to our news digest.